Jarrett Payton.
I hear my name again, and I'm like, who's calling me? So I look back at the people working, and it's not them. It's this guy that's sitting down right by the door, and he goes, Jarrett, man, I love you on The Score, man. It's so awesome. I was like, I'm going to be on at 9 o'clock. Tune in.
The Son of Sweetness.
One man, one career, one team for 200.
Walter Payton, 13 seasons for these. Deanna.
Who are the Chicago Bears?
The Bears, yes.
Sports anchor for WGN, former running back great.
Payton again, already two touchdowns. There it is. There's the touchdown. The Jarrett Payton Show today.
Jarrett Payton with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
No Mully, no Haw, but you do get a Gabe Ramirez and a Ruthie Polinsky from Chicago Sports Network. And we get to hang out with our next guests. And, of course, guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire. Check them out at Aturo.com. You get to hang out with my homie Caitlin Sharkey on WGN. I get to talk to him right now. Jarrett, welcome to the show.
Morning, you two. How you guys doing?
Morning.
Hanging in here on
you
this.
You don't get to claim Sharkey.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Gabe. Yeah, man. You can't do that, man.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if you guys remember this, but I did a TV show with Caitlin Sharkey for 4 years called Bears Unleashed.
Listen, the three of us can get in a fight.
Before she got over to WGN, her and I were kicking it on Fox 32. Hold on.
I know. You know, when it's, I get you. You are right. Okay. But you know, you have to bring her over to the, you know, to the good side over there, you know, WGN.
I see you're smiling a lot over there, Jared, and it's not because of the Bears. I'll tell you that. But let's get into the team. All right. For you yourself, I mean, obviously you had your own expectations heading into this season. You and I have yet to have a chance to talk about this Bears team. What has been the most surprising thing, right? I mean, obviously there's been some jaw-dropping moments from this Bears franchise over the course of the season. But for you personally, when looking back to what your thoughts were going to be for this team and where they're at right now, what is the most jarring for you?
Okay, Ruthie, it's kind of – I think about, for me, the most jaw-dropping was – leaving from overseas with all of the expectations of coming back stateside and, you know, bye week, and then how the rest of the season was going to go, because I was always focused on, you know, how the schedule was situated for the Bears. And, you know, looking at some of the games, especially early on before the bye, that they were going to have an opportunity to win some games. And then, you know, the tough end was going to be at the bottom half of it, the end. And so could they come out in these division games and with the way that these teams were playing and looking at the Lions and then also just looking at the Packers, knowing who they were, and man, the Vikings just kind of surprised me. And then I was thinking that, man, I can't believe we're at where we're at right now, like this losing streak. Like if you would have told me after that bye week, nah, I would have told you, going into that Washington game, I would have told you there's no way that this team was going to be on this type of losing streak. So that's what's jaw-dropping to me because of the expectations coming into the season. But I think everybody had expectations, but we also knew that there was holes to be fixed and filled on this roster still. And I think you were going coming into the season, especially on the offensive line and defensive line, kind of praying and hoping that, you know, Ryan Poles was right, that he did, especially on the offensive side of the ball, that he had depth at that offensive line. Lo and behold, I mean, it just, we're not there yet. And so you kind of built this thing from the outside in. And to me, that's not how, you can't win a championship that way. You can't be a playoff team and have sustained success if you don't have it built inside out. And I think that's the hard part.
Jarrett, where are you on the Ben Johnson situation? I know we're talking a lot about him today, I think, after watching last night. Obviously, the Bears playing the Lions. Where are you on the offensive mind coming in here? There was the report yesterday they're leaning away from the, quote, leader of men, whatever that means. What's your take on who should be in here, and should it be Ben Johnson if he wants to come here?
Just seeing what Ben Johnson's done for that Lions squad is unbelievable. I give him so much credit because I watch some of these play calls and I'm just like, holy cow. And yes, you would hope. I see a lot of people on social media saying, I want him to bring that play here. You know, can he bring that play, the stumble bump, bring it here? Well, yeah, also too, look at the roster that the Lions do have, especially on the offensive side of the ball and all of the weapons at the disposal. The offensive line is great. Gives a lot of time to Jared Goff to be able to sit back in the pocket. So yes, I'm all up for Ben Johnson. If I know it's going to be a lot of money, so is or the Bears going to be willing to pony up what he's going to ask? And I know everybody's talking about a blank check. That's not normally what they do, but if you're trying to get this thing to where you want it to go, offensively, and what he could probably do for Caleb, to me would be phenomenal. But that also comes with who's going to be the GM building this thing too. I mean, I've been listening to you guys this morning, and I really believe that you got to have a head coach and a GM in line with one another to kind of figure this thing out. That's what frustrates me the most, is that the timetables are off.
So, Jared, would you be disappointed if Ryan Poles got an extension?
No, I wouldn't be. I wouldn't. Listen, I like Ryan Poles. There's everything right now is being magnified by him because of where this team is, and when you're having success, you can get a lot of praise. When your team is not having success, you're going to kind of get those mean tweets and all the bad phone calls coming your way. I just think it's rough. If I was a head coach coming in, it would concern me a little bit. It really would concern me about not knowing the kind of the future of the GM, which we on the outside see is probably on the hot seat, but we're not on the inside. So we really don't know. And Kevin Warren's gave his vote of confidence. So as of right now, it seems like he's going to have that opportunity. I still think that for Kevin Warren, this is a big deal of what he does with the GM position and this head coach. Because like I said, all eyes are on him right now, because he's the guy that's in charge.
Okay, I'm going to go off topic here for a second, JP, because I want to ask you about your Miami Hurricanes. It's a hot topic.
What is 305 area code that I'm looking at right
now?
Well, you know, JP, I before I was here, I worked in Miami, covered the Canes for a little bit, yeah. covered Chris Ball getting hired, everything. What are your thoughts on Kim Ward sitting out in the second half? Pop-Tart Bowl.
No issues.
Yeah.
No issues whatsoever. College football is where it is right now. And because of, you know, just with NIL and the opportunity to be able to hit that transfer portal, if you feel like it, there's a lot of money to be made. I'm surprised that he played the game,
right.
but I know what kind of dude he is because I talked to people inside that locker room and people down in the 305. They talk about him. When I hear a guy like Dan Le Batard say, who, when it comes to Miami football, has been around a long time. Mm-hmm. And when he says this is the greatest season from a Miami Hurricane that he's ever seen, that's saying something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was around guys that have gold jackets that I've seen have amazing years. And so what Cam has done to re-energize that our university, it means something. I wish we were able to have a defense so we could actually contend and be in this college football playoff. I mean, offensively, what we were doing is phenomenal. And to watch him, I thought he was going to come back in that. I thought he was coming back in that second half. Because if he comes back in that second half, I think the Canes win that one, man. And we over here eating more Pop-Tarts. So it is what it is. This is what we get. We've opened the door to this for these young men, and I just wish I was in college right now because I'd be getting a bag. You know,
of
I'd be,
course,
I'd be, yes, you would, my friend.
Of course, that's why there's all these old ass college players because they know they're getting paid. You know, while they're out there, man. Jared, were you disappointed that Miami didn't make the playoff?
A little disappointed, Gabe. But you know what? I didn't want. I would no defense. I don't want you in the playoffs. It wouldn't make sense. You got to be able to win a championship, man, whether we're talking about college football, high school football, NFL football. You have to, and I say this all the time on these airwaves, you got to be able to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And if you can't do that, then you're not in that. You shouldn't be in that conversation.
Then why do you think when looking at the Bears, right, a lot of these heard Bill Belichick come out yesterday, talk about the reverse nature in which the Bears created their roster. You look at where the gaping holes are for this team.
Yeah.
Why do you think Ryan Poles took that approach with this squad?
I heard something that Coach Wanstead was talking about. I think a lot of it was going to get Caleb, and a lot of the decisions that were made to make sure that he was comfortable and that he felt good about this situation. And in some ways, I do believe that some of the stuff that Colin Cowherd was talking about maybe some of the back channels talking about Caleb and them trying to figure out what, you know, if he was feeling good about Chicago and his camp was feeling good about Chicago. I think some of that stuff was true. And hence the reason why I'm really proud of the way he's handled himself through this losing streak and through these tough times. And so I think a lot of the decisions were made offensively. We're like, yo, we're going to make sure that he's good. That's the reason why you go get Rome Odunze to make him feel comfortable. And I'm all for that. I love Rome. But I think the smarter decision probably would have been to really beef up your offensive line and add to your offensive line. If you really want to protect Caleb Williams and you really want to do right by him, that's what I would have done. And I'm not mad about Rome at all. Love Rome to death. And I think that connection is going to be great. But when I was saying a week ago about that, I feel like we're behind the eight ball here. There's talent on this roster. I'm going to give Ron Poles credit for that. There's talent on this roster. The way that it was constructed, I think what we're all seeing is not right. That's the reason why a lot of question marks are, what is his future here in Chicago and why people are talking about it so much? And rightfully so, because over 3 years, when you look at the situation we're at right now, this is not where everybody in Bears fans thought we would be at this moment.
And it's not that he necessarily neglected the offensive line. It's just, I think that he missed, right? Like the Nate Davis, Ruthie. Ryan he Bates, missed. You know, right. The Darnell Wright has been the one piece that's kind of panned out.
Yeah. But you're hoping for long term. And I think if you're going to get a franchise quarterback that you believe in, you got to be able to protect him.
Yeah.
You have to. And the Nate Davis thing gets me, man. And I think that's the reason why the question marks are there, is because I made phone calls to Tennessee. That's my old stomping grounds when I was in Tennessee. I made two phone calls to two people that I trust there. And they gave me the dirt on Nate Davis. And Foles has more resources than I do.
I hope so.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a knock. I'm just saying, like, the two separate people told me the exact same thing about him that we saw here. So that it's those things where some of the information that I get, it throws me off a little bit of why decisions were made. And that's what's hard for me. So I'm not giving out any contract extensions anywhere. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what Kevin Warren does, it's all eyes are on him. He believes, as of right now, from last time we heard from him, that he believes that Ryan Poles is going to be the guy to be able to help kind of pick out this next head coach. Well, we'll see how that all kind of pans out going into this new year.
He is Jared Payton. I am Gabe Ramirez, along with Ruthie Polinsky from CHSN. We're filling in for Mully and Hall today. Jared, I mean, obviously you have a lot of familiarity with the running back room. When you're looking at that of the Bears, you know, obviously, I myself included thought, you know, the Bears are going to get a ton out of DeAndre Swift. He's going to be a solid weapon for Caleb Williams. Been a bit underwhelming, and I think it's more so because of because of the running back room. How do you think the Bears get better in that space with the run game moving forward? Or is it just as simple as getting a better offensive line?
I think it's just a scheme, really, Gabe. With Roshan and both with Swift, I think when you saw Swift coming into this season when he was Philly, that offensive line kind of catered to what he was all about. It makes it a lot easier for him. He's a second level guy. So, you know, for him to run in between the tackles, he can do that for you, but that's not his game. That's why you see a lot of either the outside zone or the tosses, because you want to get him in the space to be able to get him to get his wiggle on so he can get to that second level, and that's where he's dangerous. Roshan, I mean, I think we didn't see the most of Roshan. Some of the injuries were some of that issue, but I mean, not using him a lot as well. I mean, a lot of the usage for him was down on the goal line area where, you know, he could sniff that 1 yard because he runs hard in between the tackle. To me, it was the scheme and how they run the football with both those guys. And they don't really, they've never really committed to the run. And I've always said from the beginning of the year, the identity of this football team should have been just running the football. And I know it's, there's issues with that offensive line. Totally get it. But if you can't establish the run, man, you can't just be going out throwing 40 times a game with Caleb Williams.
Asking too much from him.
It's too much, but also look at, it's too much how many times he's been sacked this season as well. And I'm not putting all that on the offensive line. Some of that's on him too. It's a mixture. It's 50-50 here. But if you want to protect a young quarterback, man, any quarterback, you got to be able to run the football and be able to establish the run. And they were never able to really do that. And I think that was another big question mark that's always been over my head. And I thought that would change. I thought that would change with Matt Eberflus being fired. And but it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed.
It's hard to run the ball when you're playing every game down two scores. I mean,
ugh. Well, yeah, Ruthie, that's the thing. Your defense, you were always relying on your defense to be able to hold up. When you're down 14-0, it is hard.
Yeah.
You can't, and especially on the offensive side of the ball where you can't start out fast and have success early on in the first like two drives of the game and you're already down a score. Yeah, it is hard. Yeah. Offensive coordinators do not want to, they don't want to run the football. They're trying to catch up, and I get that. But that, this, the roster, the way that it's built, this offense, the way it's constructed, it's not built right now to be able to play from behind.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's why tonight everybody in Chicago is going to be drinking. You know, not only is it New Year's Eve, but people want to forget about this entire football season. Jared, what you got on tap for New Year's with you and the fam?
I'll actually be working tonight. I'll be with K-Shark tonight on set on WGN on GN Sports tonight at 10:30. So we'll be popping bottles on set, hopefully. And we'll just be talking about, you know, things that we're looking forward to in 2025 and things that we're looking to leave behind in 2025. Yeah. So it should be a good time. But hey, Happy New Year to both of you guys, man, and everybody listening here on the Score, the whole entire family. I'm looking forward to big success for everybody in 2025.
Including the Bears?
I think we make some good steps moving. Yes. It's hard to say with the way that the division is right now, Gabe. Yeah. I can't look at it. It's too difficult. The division's too good, but it starts with the head coach and figuring that out. And if they can do that and get that right, then yeah, maybe we're looking at some success, better than 4 wins this year.
Oof.
It's got to be better than that. That's for sure. Jared, appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Look forward to talking to you again
soon.
Happy
New Year. Send my love to our girl.
My girl.
I will.
My girl. Send love to my girl. That's fine. All right, Jared. Talk to you soon, man. Jared Payton hanging out with us here on 670 The Score. I mean, it is that. I mean, look, when you think about the new year and your New Year's resolutions, what should the Bears' resolution be? Too deep of a question for this team.
Where do I begin?
It just, all right, if you're Ryan Poles.
Hire the right coach.
Yeah.
Hire all of the above.
The right coach. All of the above. And everything else hopefully falls into place.
If Jared Payton can make one phone call and get information about a player and figure that out, I mean, come on.
That was well known. I think that was a very open dialogue about Nate Davis and why I think they were willing to let him go. But I think when you're a GM, you're always looking to give a player a second shot, a fresh start, a new environment. Like, those things happen, right? Like, he swung and he missed, and it is what it is.
My brother just texted me. He said the New Year's resolution is get Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Get Ben Johnson and don't.
It's going to be fascinating. Like, there's so much unknown with Ben Johnson. There's so much unknown.
The thing is, people are going to assume that if it's not Ben Johnson, then the Bears are settling, regardless of who the name is. Right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I guess this Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson, and then it's like,
the guys.
Who else?
The guys. I mean, you heard like Coach wants to say he'd love Kellen Moore, right? And it's like, if he got put to the podium, I think people will be like, wait a second, right? That's just it. I think, you know, Bears fans have a vision in their head. And it is Ben Johnson. It is the leader of people, yeah. All people, human beings. And then, you know, then everybody else.
Yeah.
Until we as analysts begin to seriously talk about true contenders and what their traits are that can contribute to a winning franchise. All right. We want to take some calls on the other side. We also want to fill you in on all the happenings in Chicago when it comes to sports here in our town. We'll do all of that on the other side before we get to transition with Bernstein and Heron. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez. It is Ruthie Polinsky from CHSN filling in for Mully and Hall right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. That's right. Gabe Ramirez, Ruthie Polinsky filling in for Mully and Hall today. Ruthie, you'll be back on Thursday as well, right?
I will, with Mark Grody.
The Groats. Wow. And I thought this was going to be your best show of the week. And then you get Grody. It's tough. Tough competition there. I do want to mention the fact that, you know, we were talking about Ben Johnson beforehand and whether or not he'll be here. You've heard some reports saying that, you know, Jacksonville might be the spot for him. But we have some a nice little clip from Tom Pelissero on Good Morning Football about Ben Johnson and his future.
And they kept saying, Peter, on the broadcast last night, he was a hot candidate last year. It really dates back 2 years ago when the Panthers were set to fly him into Charlotte. And he decided the night before, he just felt like he had unfinished business in Detroit. He's loyal to Dan Campbell. He wanted to be a part of going to the playoffs, which he had not done before, decided to stay. Last year, he would have had strong interest from the Washington Commanders, but it just got to the point where he didn't feel comfortable with the situation. My understanding is Ben Johnson's in a much better place in terms of thinking about what he wants in a head coaching opportunity. It doesn't have to be the perfect job, but he does want a place where he's got alignment and the opportunity to build something with sustainable success like they have in Detroit. The job that comes up more than any other is within the division. It is in with the Chicago Bears. I am told that Ben Johnson is intrigued by that job. And when it comes his time to interview, which the cadence of that is going to depend on whether or not the Lions have the bye, he is going to listen. He got a lot to like in Chicago with Caleb Williams, the raw talent there. They got a ton of cap space. They got extra draft picks. Big market. They're hoping to break ground on a new stadium in 2025. It's not to say that's the only job that Ben Johnson would consider. But right now, Peter, if you're asking me where does Ben Johnson end up if he takes a job, right now I would say your best bet is Chicago.
Oh, every Bears fan that loves Ben Johnson's like going crazy right now when they hear something like that. I mean, very vague stuff, right? Is he intrigued by the job? Sure, he's an offensive coordinator who is being courted by many, or will be courted by many. So yeah, he's intrigued. Does he like what he has here? Sure, it's Caleb Williams sitting there. But again, I want everybody to remember, and I'm not trying to be the cynic Bears fan. I'm just, it's like, yes, I am. But you got to remember, you cannot expect mirrored success in Chicago when a guy like Ben Johnson gets here. There are so many moving pieces when it comes to something like that.
Again, where can he bring Penei Sewell? Can he bring that whole entire offensive line?
Yeah. Does he want Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery back
yeah,
here?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a process. Like, that's piece one. That's the, you know, that's the middle of your bingo card. Like, that's where you start. And then you got to keep going. And there's a lot more pieces that need to fall into place. And I think that's great. You kind of get the weird. I understand, you know, you pull out of the Panthers interview last minute, you pull out of the Washington interview. Like, what's going on there? I don't know. It's just it's a little funky. I think like it's a little unusual for that to happen 2 years in a row. I forgot about the Panthers situation.
Yeah. It's more Benny Hill than Ben Johnson. I think the issue with that is that a lot of people aren't talking about the inexperience, you know, it's like, wasn't this an important issue for Bears fans and Bears brass that someone have experience because of how the Bears have been burned with that scenario prior to? So I don't know. It's weird to me because, again, the assumption there is that he will bring success. And it's a lofty assumption with a guy who's never coached in the league before. But I get it. I mean, I get why people want him. Right. I get it. But I feel like there's other candidates out there. Like, why isn't Cliff Kingsbury, who has head coaching experience
and failed?
And failed, but head coaching experience nonetheless. Any head coach you're bringing in that has experience has failed, right? If we're looking at it like that, at one point or another. But Cliff Kingsbury, I mean, he's called the offense. He has a rapport with Caleb Williams.
I guess I just don't understand why they're not equally as loud.
Yeah, I think because you're seeing what he's doing with the offense in Detroit, and it's so appealing to the eye. I mean, that's sexy. Like, what he's doing with that offense is, like, jaw-dropping. It's cute. It's sexy. It's, like, flexing your muscles, like, against everyone you play. And that's, I think, really attractive for any team that's looking to have success. I look at Cliff Kingsbury and I say, you tried to be a head coach. That didn't work. Mike Vrabel, coach of the year, went to the playoffs. Like, obviously, it trailed off. Like, but I think that's why people look at him. Another former head coach in Brian Flores, back-to-back winning seasons in Miami for the first time in 20 years. Like, he got fired for really dumb reasons. So, like, there's a lot of, like, other people that have experience that I think are getting the kind of, like, you know, the attention. Whereas Ben Johnson, I think everyone's just ready to crown him the next Kevin O'Connell, the next Matt LaFleur, the next whoever you want to call, which he might be. And that's why I think everyone wants to
see. Are the Bears an organization that can afford that risk, right? Where, like, granted, the ceiling might be exceptionally high on Ben Johnson, but it still comes with a risk.
Yeah.
A risk that he might fall on his face. A risk that in 2 years he might go back to being an offensive coordinator, a really damn good one, because he can't be a leader of people, a leader of humans. It's tough to
Matt Eberflus, really good play caller, not a good head coach.
And he will be a defensive coordinator.
He will.
In 2 years.
If not next year.
If not, he might want to collect that check for 1 year and just kind of chill out on that one. All right. Circus Sports Illinois invites you to join the Score at Trace in Wrigleyville today from 2 to 6 p.m. You ever been to Trace, Ruthie?
No.
I've never been there either. Lawrence Holmes and Layla Rahimi will be broadcasting live before the Winter Showdown on New Year's Eve, celebrating the Outdoor Hockey Classic between the Blackhawks and St. Louis. That's Trace in Wrigleyville today from 2 to 6 p.m. It's all brought to you by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. And then Alyssa Bergamini, I mentioned earlier that she'd be, you know, out there, our very own Alyssa Bergamini on 670 Score. She's going to be emceeing and hosting the NHL on TNT Barn Burner.
Ooh.
Outside of Gallagher Way. So if you want to go ahead and say
Love it.
What's up to Alyssa there. All right. Are you a big hockey person? You tuned in with the Blackhawks right now?
I'm a little tuned, obviously, Chicago Sports Network. We love the Hawks. Obviously, I think it's hard.
Obviously.
Love hockey. Covered a lot of hockey in my career. Covered the Bruins Blues Stanley Cup run when I was working in Rhode Island. That was an absolute blast. I grew up in St. Louis. Don't like me to remind on this radio, but I grew up loving the Blues. But I am enjoying covering the Blackhawks here. It's, you know, you lose your fandom a little bit in this industry because you root for the teams you cover because my job is more fun when those teams win.
True.
So, like, you kind of lose it a little bit in this industry, unfortunately. But, yeah, I was going to try and get out there today. We'll see. It's raining. What happens when it rains in the Winter Classic? Like, the ice has to stay
That's right.
Frozen.
I didn't even think about that.
Yikes.
It should not be
It'll
raining.
Be fine, though. I'm sure they have a plan for that.
Chicago, you know, blow a wind in the middle, first period, and then everything will be, you know, okay after that. But
it looks awesome, doesn't it?
Dude, I think, listen, I'm not in tune with hockey as much. I mean, I love Pat Boyle. He's amazing. I watch him, you know, as he covers the Blackhawks. But when you're talking about the team as a whole, I mean, it looks like a spectacle, right? It's brighter than you've ever seen it. They zoom out. I mean, it looks like you're like a high school, like looks like something that would happen in high school. You know, like they just throw a rink in the middle of the whole thing. That to me would be interesting right there. But another team in Chicago that maybe some people are out on, not me though, the Chicago Bulls got themselves a victory yesterday. It was an ugly one. Talk about ugly. I mean, somewhere in the middle of the third quarter, Bulls were down by 8 points. And then Charlotte went on like a 5-minute drought without scoring. Bulls couldn't score either. It was like turnovers. But then all of a sudden, Torrey Craig comes in, hits a bunch of threes, and then the tide changed in that one before it gets sent to overtime. Did you see how it went to overtime?
Yes.
Dude.
Booch.
Come on. Two free throws? Who? You're getting paid millions of dollars. I get it if you're a bad free throw shooter, which he's not.
He's
not. And I get that. But, like, damn, two in a row?
I know. I saw Casey Johnson tweeted something. He's like an 85% free throw shooter, and he missed those two in the moment. In the moment.
Ruthie, I'm watching the free throw happen, right? and he's on the second one. And I know he's thinking because he's bent all the way down to the ground and he's getting his little pre-dribbles in. And on the last dribble before the second free throw, the ball kind of scoots forward and he kind of like has to go get it.
Ugh.
And I was watching it in real time and I was like, oh, he's going to miss this.
You're like, that doesn't look
rhythm.
Right.
That's his rhythm. He's like,
yeah.
And sure enough, he misses it, puts his hands on his head. And then Miles Bridges has an incredible pump fake off the opposite leg, 3-point shot to send him to overtime. I mean, the Bulls, is Lonzo Ball going to Charlotte?
Is he?
That's what I've been hearing rumblings. They got to get rid of all these guys. I mean, like if they
eventually
want to accomplish what they want to accomplish. I enjoy watching the Bulls, but you know, when you're looking at this team, it's just like you play down to your competition, you play up to your competition because you got guys that, you know, really want to win and are high quality guys. But something, there needs to be a direction for the Chicago Bulls team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there, what is the direction? I think right now it's you play well so that you improve the draft stock. I mean, you improve the stock of these guys to get, you know, picks or whatever it may be in return. Players, who knows? I don't know. You want to make sure that when you're trading Zach LaVine, it's at an all-time high, right?
So I feel like we're here.
Yeah?
I feel like we're here. Zach's at an all-time high playing well. Vooch is at an all-time high playing well.
Yeah.
Can't really get much for Pat Will. Is he a bust? Is he Bayless Jones Jr. of the Bulls?
I wouldn't go that far. Bayless Jones, they had to change his position. They had to, and that didn't work. Bayless Jones.
Ruthie.
Hold on.
A guy who gives you a couple of exciting plays, but you can't depend on him to be consistent.
Bayless wasn't even not consistent. He was literally losing you games. Like he was fumbling return, like, and teams were returning it for touchdowns. Like he was so much worse than Patrick Williams. I'm not going that far.
Patrick Williams like that?
I'm not going that far.
Someone needs to. Listen,
where's Dustin? Dustin.
A little disappointing, okay, but Bayless Jones.
Pat has been so disappointing. Listen, and you're talking about someone who loves Pat Will's game. Like as a basketball player, playing above the rim, this guy should average 8.7 rebounds a game. Should. Doesn't. Should be hitting the mid-range, hitting 4 middies a game because of how high he could jump. He's a specimen. It's what everyone thought. That's why he was the number 4 pick in the draft.
Would you put different expectations on him, though? Because Patrick Williams got drafted as a young project. That was not the case with
Modest
Bayless Jones Jr.
Modest Buzelis is young. Oh, you're talking about to the Bayless Jones
Jr.
Yeah.
The
815 says Patrick Williams is more like Tevin Jenkins.
Okay. Little injury can't get you there all the way.
Oh, that's an interesting comparison. Like, you see the potential. Like,
right.
You see it. Okay. It's there.
High draft pick.
Yes.
Okay.
Lots expected.
And with Patrick Williams, it's like you have a really great coach in Billy Donovan, someone who can develop, and I have faith in developing young talent. And the fact that it hasn't worked has just been disappointing.
This man already got a new contract.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about young guys anymore. I tell you the biggest issue with Pat Will, and when you compare him to a guy like Modest Buzelis, Buzelis comes in and he's like, I'm going to be rookie of the year. Can't nobody stop me. I'm the coldest person on this court. Zach LaVine, give me the ball when there's 2 seconds left. I should be the one shooting the three. That's the difference. Where Pat Will is not that dude. He does not have that mindset. And I think that's where he lacks. If he had Modest Buzelis' confidence, then he'd probably play like the Pat Will we want him to play like.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest component that's missing from him right there. But you heard Kobe White in the post game yesterday really trying to, you know, pump Pat Will up. When they were talking about his career high in three-pointers, 5. He shoots over 40%, led the team in three-point percentage for like the last couple of years in a row, and his career high is 5. And then even Kobe was saying he got to do more. Oh, my gosh.
But then you're also telling me you don't want this team to win. So what are we talking about?
Don't. Trade him, too. Trade him, too. All right. We're going to get into a little bit of crosstalk on the other side, which is going to be very interesting. We got a Dan Bernstein. We got an Anthony Heron that'll be hanging out with us. Just Dan Bernstein. Sorry about that. We got Dan Bernstein coming in to hang out with us, do a little bit of crosstalk. We'll pick his brain. I know he loves basketball. I'm Pat Will, but also Ben Johnson. And if that's the right move for the Chicago Bears, Dan Bernstein jumps on for some transition next. It's Gabe Ramirez and Ruthie Polinsky from CHSN filling in for Mullion Hall right here on The Score.